On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Morena, Fabian, how are you? Hello.
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. What time of the day is it there for you?
It's 12:45 PM.
Okay, so good afternoon to you then.
Yeah.
What's happening in Tinseltown? How's LA?
It's good. It's a really nice day. After I finish speaking to you, I'm going to head over the hill into Hollywood and sit down with three of the top actresses today. Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Moss, and Tiffany Haddish, who are all starring in a new film called The Kitchen, which is about 70s Irish gangster wives taking over with their gangster husbands fail or something like that.
That sounds like a great premise for a movie. I really like Tiffany Haddish. I think she's really funny. I haven't actually watched very much Melissa McCarthy stuff. She's sort of passed me by, but I know very much who she is as well. I don't know how I've managed to pass her by because she's huge in terms of like just every movie seems to have her either as a writing credit or just starring in it at the moment. When does that movie come out?
Not for a while, not till like September or something. This is a long lead interview. But speaking of Melissa McCarthy, if you want to start anywhere, start with a film that just came out last year called Can You Ever Forgive Me, which was absolutely amazing. It's a true story. She plays this literary forger. And it's a film that breaks all the rules about protagonist likability.
Ooh.
You know, Hollywood is beholden to this stupid thing that we have to like our lead characters, and mm-hmm. She's awful. She's a terrible human being.
That's
but you
so
can't
good.
Turn away, and she's a fascinating character, and she remains kind of sympathetic despite that. It's a really amazing film set in like 90s New York. It's all very brown and woody and leathery, and it's a great film.
And so she's like a literary forger. Is that what her character is?
Yeah, she plays a writer who's fallen out of favor. She wrote like biographies and stuff. So she realizes how valuable the correspondence of major literary figures are.
Okay.
And she starts faking letters by people like Noel Coward and Dorothy Parker. But it's great because she takes all this pride in the fact that she's able to capture their voice and people believe it's really them.
Oh, that's
because
great.
These letters, yeah, the more personal they are, the more valuable they are. So she kind of like gets satisfaction creatively from pretending to be Dorothy Parker. It's kind of amazing.
That's so great. And this is a true story, is it?
Yeah.
That's so
based
wild.
Her memoir.
Wow, the world is just bonkers. There are so many things that go on, and then when you find out it's a true story, you just think if you wrote that as a play or a script or something and it wasn't real, you just wouldn't really be able to believe it otherwise. But that sounds brilliant.
Yeah, and especially it's so analog. It's about, you know, like capturing someone's voice, and like she buys all these old typewriters so she can replicate how they properly look. It's sort of an antidote to a overly digital world, he said wistfully.
What is the name of that movie again? So if people want to watch it this weekend, rainy weekend we're having in Auckland.
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Can You Ever Forgive Me? All right, so that one came out last year, so that's one you can probably find online or in your local DVD store, if that still exists in your area. What's happening in contemporary movies? What's happening in stuff that's coming out?
Well, the two big releases this week are Rocket Man, the Elton John film, which is quite good. I thought it was better than Bohemian Rhapsody. It's a bit more prone to whimsy. But it's not a profound movie, you know. Pop star biopics were a small screen thing for so long.
Mm.
And I remember what it's sort of, you know, there's something, it's weird how they're big again, but when you do a greatest hits of somebody's life, I mean, yeah, the songs are very powerful, but it's never going to kind of be that weighty, I think. And so, but I enjoyed it, and the songs are amazing, and it's not afraid to be a little bit gayer than Bohemian Rhapsody apparently was.
There's been quite a bit of criticism of those movies for sort of straight washing a lot of the lives of these characters, well, you know, real people as well. And also, I guess that's been a criticism too, because they've got straight actors playing, you know, famous and significant gay figures as well. So it'll be interesting, I guess, to see how they handle that in the Elton John movie as well.
Yeah, well, it seems to be benefiting, at least perception-wise, from being relatively less homophobic than Bohemian Rhapsody, while in its own right could probably have gone a lot further. In fact,
right,
it definitely could have. But do you think? What do you think of the whole straight actors playing gay characters? Do you think that should, that's sort of? I don't know if that should be a problem. Don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I've read a lot of different, you know, think pieces from people that have been very convincing both ways. But what I, one thing I did think was really good was when the Met Gala happened and the theme this year was camp, and then someone made like a list of all of the straight actors who'd played significantly camp, you know, like figures like Elton John. Is it Taron Egerton who plays him in this? He showed up in like basically just like a black suit with like a tiny little diamante on like the pocket. They were like, this is just so embarrassing that you're playing someone who is notoriously camp and notoriously fantastic, and you just showed up in a black suit to a themed gala where the theme was literally camp. So there was quite a good like thread on Twitter somewhere where they'd pulled all of these sort of actors who'd done that. I was like, yeah, that's probably a fair point to make.
It's definitely a discussion worth having, but it's something that I do worry is a slight overextension. I mean, there's probably definitely, you know, straight actors have taken opportunities away from gay actors a lot in these times when it's been unjust, but I think when it comes to a character's inner self, or I don't know, maybe it's wrong to refer to someone's sexuality as their inner self, but that's a tricky one, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, as I was saying, I think there's a lot of interesting points on both sides of the fence there as well. From lots of really significant people have made those calls as well. So would you recommend people go and check out the Elton John movie if they're so inclined interested in him?
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Fun.
It's a fun movie.
Fun's a good
like
reason.
Like Bohemian Rhapsody, it gets most of its power from its music, you know?
Yeah.
But there's an art to being able to embrace and enjoy the music in a certain creative context, and it definitely fulfills that. The other major release this week is Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Very controversial, because Godzilla in his private life, openly gay, but Godzilla in the movie, straight.
Very straight. Oh, dear. Hey, have you been to see this movie, though? Have you rated it?
I have.
What do you think?
And I love these kind of movies. I couldn't be more... I was very excited for it, and I actually thought it was not that great.
Oh, damn.
To me, the key to these films is spatial geography and set pieces. You know, I want to know exactly who's where and how big everything is and who's going to get stomped on. And this film, it's like the night battle in Game of Thrones. There's a lot of nighttime stuff where you can't see anything.
It's lazy. If you're putting it in the dark so we can't see it, that's just lazy. Do it in the middle of the day. We can see all the details of buildings getting smashed and things.
Yeah, it seems to be being generally quite well received from what I can tell. But I was bored, and I have a very low bar for films like this. I love monster movies.
Yeah,
I liked Kong Skull Island. I liked the first Godzilla. This one it's all over the place, and the characters. There's all these, so many, how many scenes of Millie Bobby Brown sort of turning and like screaming at the camera can you handle?
Yeah, fair.
Because it seemed like half the movie was that.
You could just watch Stranger Things instead, and actually it'll be good, you know, and if you want to see that.
Yeah.
So Godzilla is a no-go.
Her?
Beg your pardon? She's a child.
It's okay if I hate
She's
her.
A child. I guess you can
That's
dislike
what I'm
her
asking.
Acting. You can dislike
her. I'm not going to, like, punch her or anything.
Oh, she bloody hope not.
I just mean, like, she's kind of annoying.
I mean, I think you're probably allowed to find her a bit annoying. So you would say don't go to Godzilla, but maybe do go to Elton John if you feel like sort of a fun movie and you like his music?
I would even say still go to Godzilla, because you got to see it, you know. It's big and massive.
Go to Godzilla because it sucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Rocket Man succeeds better in what it's setting out to do.
Fantastic. Oh, well, thank you so much, Fabian, for chatting to us today. Good luck with your big interview this afternoon. We'll be interested to hear how that goes next week.
Cool. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
All right, I've got a few.